Evening, everybody. Right, I'm just looking at one little verse that was read from the passage now, and it's one I think you should all know very well. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's almighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Let's pray. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, make this word speak fresh into our hearts tonight, we pray. Holy Spirit, only you can do this, and therefore, Lord, we depend totally upon you to bring life to the word by your Holy Spirit. Give us ears to hear. For Christ's sake, amen. There we have a conditional promise given. A conditional promise. If we humble ourselves, we're told, then we will be lifted up by God. I could put it this way. The doorway into God's kingdom is set very low. You've got to stoop to get into the kingdom of God. You've got to get off your high horse. You've got to get down on your hands and knees, as it were, and crawl to get in. And the Bible tells us repeatedly, no one will ever enter the kingdom of God with their heads held high. There are no big heads in heaven. Jesus makes this very clear in his preaching, doesn't he? In Matthew 5, he tells us who the blessed people are. According to Jesus, it is the poor of spirit who are blessed. It is those who mourn. It is the hungry and the thirsty, the weak and the persecuted. These are the people Jesus expressly tells us are those who are blessed of the Lord. In fact, in Matthew 13, Jesus makes it even clearer. He speaks here directly when he prays to God the Father. He says, I thank you, Father, because you have hidden these things. Now, we mustn't mince around with words. God has hidden these things. What things? The salvation message of glory from the wise and the learned. In other words, you can't get into the kingdom of God on your own intelligence and your own wisdom and study. But God, he says, you, Father, have revealed it to little children. Little children? Well, we know he's not just talking about physically little children. He tells us in another portion of the Gospels, if you want to hear from God, you must be like a little child, teachable, open, trusting. David writes in Psalm 51 that true sacrifice of God is a broken and a contrite heart. God's not looking for fancy sacrifices. He's not looking for magnificent offerings. He wants a broken and a contrite heart. Now, you know what the word contrite means. It means you're very, very sorry. What do we mean by broken? Broken here is not romantically broken, you know, achy, breaky heart type of thing. Broken here is when a horse that's wild like a stallion and it's refusing to be subdued is tamed. We say the horse is broken, and that's the Hebrew word here. It's a heart that's been tamed. It's become mild and teachable. This is what God wants. Broken, contrite heart. Consequently, I could say tonight with confidence that all true Christians are humble people. We're told in our text that anybody who wants to be lifted up by God must be humble. Okay, fair enough. You've heard this passage many times before, and I'm sure you get it. But here's a dumb question. What do we mean by the word humble? Tapenos in the New Testament. What is tapenos? Humble. You may be sitting here tonight and you're thinking, oh yeah, humble, I'm a very humble person. Well, if you are thinking that, the chances are you are not humble, you're exceedingly proud. I remember once in one of my times when I was preparing a sermon and I was really struggling to get a message, and I fell on my knees very dramatically and I said, oh God, give me a message, I beg you. And then a little thought came into my mind, my goodness, I'm so humble, aren't I? It was like violin started playing, you know. And it was only then it struck me how pathetically arrogant it is to act that way. How stupid to think you're humble. If you are humble, it's the last thing you realize you are. But the fact is, so many people are falsely humble. They're playing their violins and feeling sorry for themselves and so convinced they're lowly, humble people. And it's ridiculous. It's pathetic. Do you know, in the Gospels, Jesus mocks people like this. Hypocrites who believe they're humble. Jesus says, when you fast, don't put on a sad face. Make yourself look all miserable and hungry and scruffy. And in the Greek language, he actually puts it this way. When you are fasting, do not trumpet yourself. Ba-ba, look at me, look how humble I am. Don't go around showing everyone how wretched and humble you are, he says, because that's not humility. In fact, there's nothing more ridiculous and pathetic than a person acting humble. Don't they get on your nerves, people like that? I'm sure you've all met people who are like that. They put on this long face to impress you, and they're all sort of, you know, I can't even explain it. Charles Dickens had a character in his book David Copperfield, Uriah Heep. And Uriah Heep was a man who used to constantly be growing his hands like this, and he used to walk with a stoop, an accentuated stoop, and he'd always walk up to people and say, what an humble person I am, I'm so humble. And this is what Dickens wrote about him in his typical Dickensian way. Dickens wrote, Heep came across greasy and despicable to most people. Well, when you put on a humble face, maybe you're greasy and despicable too. It's disgusting when people act all humble, isn't it? C.S. Lewis wrote this in the Screwtape Letters about how ridiculous false humility is. He said, false humility, is a Screwtape talking, is intelligent men acting as if they're stupid and everybody knows they're not. Strong people pretending to be weak when they ought to be strong, and attractive women trying to be ugly. Ridiculous, false, silly. And yet, let's face it, sometimes churches can be full of humble people. You know, Uriah Heep type humble people. That's not humility to walk around playing a violin and showing everyone what a wretch you are. That's hypocrisy, because deep down inside you know in your sin you love yourself. Okay, well, if that's not humility, how are we to truly humble ourselves? Because our text commands us imperatively, humble yourself. If it's not getting on my knees and throwing sand in my hair and grinding my hands together, how do I humble myself? These are the three instructions of John Owen in his book Mortification. And I'm telling you that because I want you to know I'm not so brilliant that I got this myself. Firstly, we must face the fact and openly admit that we are creatures. This is the one lesson I've learned in the past few years. You know, I never knew it. We call ourselves creatures, but do you realize you're a creature? We are created beings, clay formed by the hands of a potter. We are creatures. In God we live and move and have our being. All that we have, all that we are, and all that we will ever achieve comes from God. It's been proven, and even theologians will agree, honestly, you're as intelligent as God has conditioned your brain to be. Do you know that? You are as educated as Providence privileged you with the opportunities. You're as good-natured as the genes you picked up from your parents and the experiences you've had through life. You are a creation of God. God has created you. And you know, it's something that we find very hard to accept. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul rebukes the proud Corinthians like this. He says, "What do you have that you did not receive?" Everything you are, Providence has formed through life and made you. You are a product of Providence, genetics, education that was not your own doing. You're a creature. God made you who you are. The first step to humility is to come to terms with this. The second step of humility is to admit, as creatures, we're absolutely dependent upon God's will and grace. You can do nothing unless God wills it. Oh, the old people used to know this. On the island of St. Helena, where I was for 3 years, they used to have this saying, and you're all too young to remember when they said it here, but they would say, "I'll see you next Sunday, God willing. I'm going to work tomorrow, God willing. I'm going to go make myself a cup of tea now, God willing." But they had this sense that whatever they did, it was the will of God that would bring it to pass. And it's something that we tend to have lost in our modern day of age. We seem to think we're gods in our own right, and we make our own decisions and we forge our own destiny. That's a lie. You're a creature and you're absolutely dependent on the will of God. If you're successful, give the glory to God. Don't steal God's glory. If you're humbled, bow down and learn what God is teaching you. But Jesus put it this way: "I'm the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me." Why abide in the vine? Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. Nothing at all. The hymn goes like this: "Great is thy faithfulness." All I have needed, thy hand has provided. So we need to face the fact, quite literally, that we are created beings. We exist because we've been formed by the potter. We're not creatures in our own right. Secondly, we have to admit, as creatures, we're absolutely dependent on the will of God. And thirdly, it flows on from that, we should therefore live thankful and dependent and submitted lives before God. That's humility. Humility is realizing what you are, a creature in the hands of an almighty, good, faithful creator, and living accordingly. Why is it so hard for us to be humble? Because we all inherited the temptation of Eve. Eve's temptation was, you will be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the yada word of Hebrew, therefore knowing, isn't just knowing it in your head, it's having the ability to decide for yourself what I shall do, good or evil. We all want to be God and make our own decisions. We want to claim our own glory and we want to take credit for our own achievements. and you even see it in churches, this is why works, righteous religion must be stamped out in this church. Please continue to preach grace. For anyone to claim, look at me, look at what I've done, is to deny the creaturely truth that God has made us what we are. All the glory must go to God. So humility is an essential first step to true discipleship. We humble ourselves before the Lord in order to be lifted up by him. We must be humble. Properly humble. Realize we're creatures. Realize our absolute dependence on the will of God and submit, be thankful, and dependent accordingly. You may say, but I'm quite a creature. Yes, you are quite a creature, but even though you're fearfully and wonderfully made, you are made. I'll give you an example. When you look at the Mona Lisa, you ever go to the Louvre and you look at the Mona Lisa, do you praise the Mona Lisa for her beauty? They'd think you were mad, wouldn't they, if you stood in front of the pictures and how beautiful you are. All the glory goes to Michelangelo, the creator. True humility reflects the glory back to God. And if you are talented or gifted or beautiful or strong, then give God the glory for that. He made you what you are. True humility worships God the way God should be worshipped. I always think of a man. Rogers read the book. We lent it to him. It was a man called Mfundisi Duma. He was a Zulu minister in the 1960s in the Baptist Union of South Africa. A greatly gifted man of God. And he was known for his humility. And he was such a famous preacher that there was a church that invited him to do a week's ministry in their church. And they put up this big poster outside. The great evangelist, Mfundisi Duma, will be coming to preach. He refused to go into that church till they took the poster down. He said, I'm not great. All the glory goes to God. And that's how God was glorified in his ministry. He was humble in the true sense of the word. He didn't walk around like a riot heap, rubbing his hands and saying what rubbish he was. No, he simply said, all of this is due to him. I'm a creature in the hands of a glorious creator. Let's remember that we will be lifted up if we can only have the courage and the trust to be creatures in God's hands. The wonder of wonders. You all know the story of Pinocchio, don't you? He was a wooden puppet, but you know, magic made him a real boy in the end. If you can be humble enough to be a creature in God's hand to God's glory, do you know what's going to happen? When Christ comes, you will be turned into what Christ is. And all the glory he'll share with you. But while you're living in this mortal flesh, give glory to God. Let's pray. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for creating creatures like us who can know you and love you. And thank you, Lord, that you have promised that one day we'll step out of this mortal frame into an eternal life. We don't understand, we don't pretend we do. We do confess that by nature we are proud. Oh, Lord, we want to be something. We would be as gods if we could. Help us, Lord, to humble ourselves that we may be lifted up in due time. For Christ's sake, amen. We're going to sing a hymn while the elders prepare for the communion. So I'll go and sit down in the last verse of this. But let's stand and sing, Great